Hi guys, thanks for tuning in to episode 77 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is Saturday, October 1st. Yay for October. I love October. And I am Summer. You can find me on Ravelry as Summer Yarns, which is S-O-M-E-R-Y-A-R-N-S. And...
Oh, I'm sorry. Scoot over a little bit. Yeah.
And I'm Katie. You can find me on Ravelry as Katie B, K-A-Y-T-E-E-B-E. Instagram is Katie B, K-T, with a K-T at the end. I'm also on Goodreads. You're welcome to, all my things are linked in my Ravelry profile.
Yeah, and you can also find the links to all of our profiles on the blog for the podcast, which is kitchenstitches.com. It's over on the right-hand side, kind of near the top. So you'll see all of that. So, segments today will include finished objects, works in progress, casting on soon, acquisitions. We just went to Stitches, so we've got some stuff to talk about. Other crafty pursuits. We will be giving away our summer reading knit-along prizes. In the kitchen and reading and watching. So, let's get started. Do you want to start, or do you want me to start?
I've only got, like, what, one or two things?
Me too.
It seems so long since we've recorded.
It is. It's been a while since our last real episode.
Yeah. I finished, at the end of August, I finished April Snow, which is a pattern by Knitterella, who is Jill Zielinski. I think it's still exclusive for a while to Plucky Knitter. It was a kit that they sold. I made it with Plucky Knitter Snug Fingering in the color Wonderlust color, which is a really pretty charcoaly gray, and used Primo Fingering in Pink Champagne on Ice, which is kind of a bright pink. And then I used some Spun Right Round Snappy Sock in Shock Star, which is it's like a white base with pops of pink and black and yellow and orange, kind of like if someone had dropped a bag of highlighters on it. It was really pretty. So I haven't blocked it yet, but all the thousands of ends are woven in. And I do have some pictures on my profile page, or on its project page. And then the other night I finished Paris Toujours by Isabel Kramer, knit with Plucky Knitter Crew. And Magnet and Steel, which is also gray. I'm in a very gray phase. And that's sections of garter and lace. It's a big triangle shawl. And it's currently blocking upstairs.
I've only got a couple of things too. I think I probably finished a couple of things between the last time we recorded and when we went to Into the Wool, but I wasn't sure. So what I have is just what I finished since we got back. At least I think that's true with the case of the shawls. I think I finished it after we got back. So the first thing I finished is the Moab shawl by the patterns by Very Busy Monkey. And yarn is My Hand Spun. It was a gradient set from WC Mercantile that I picked up at the International Quilt Festival last year. I'm really, really happy with how this turned out. So the hand spun was a single that I fold, and it's fairly consistent. There are some spots where it was a little bulkier and some spots where it was really thin, but as a whole, it worked out really nicely. So it starts out at the top with kind of a lilac, I guess, going into a periwinkle. No, I don't know which one.
It's hard to name all the purples when you got them.
And then into a lighter.
See, this I would call the bottom one lilac.
Me too. Now that I get to it, that's so. I guess
various shades of purple and lilac, right, and violet.
And then the very bottom is kind of a taupe.
Yeah,
it's completely. I guess it's they included just one contrast, but as I was knitting it, I really wasn't sure how I was liking the taupe at the bottom, but blocked out, it adds a really nice finish to it. It was a really, really simple pattern. It's just garter for 50% of it, and then you switched to the edging pattern, which was kind of a chevron. If you think about how you might draw like a three-dimensional box, that's kind of what it reminds me of. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah, it's a chevron lace.
Yeah, kinda. But it's
not necessarily lacy, but it's got texture.
Right, and it's got just a couple of rows garter at the very bottom. So I'm very pleased with it. It blocked out just enough to cover my shoulders and wrap around. I'm really pleased with it. And then the only other thing I finished, I have said before, I like to knit with my hand spun and actually use it. So when I cast off the Moab shawl, I grabbed the next one that I had spun, which was out of a bat by Gritty Knits that I had gotten at last year's Houston Fiber Festival in the patina colorway. So kind of that coppery green, and it had some like copper colored sparkle in it. And it was worsted to bulky, kind of a heavy worsted. And I looked around, I didn't have a whole lot, probably about 80 yards, and I needed something small. And I had found a pattern for the Ovum Dracona drawstring bag, which was, it was actually, the purpose of the bag was for dice, like,
gaming.
Yeah, for gaming. And Eli has really started to get into Dungeons and Dragons. And although he hasn't really expressed interest in dice or anything like that, no. I was like, well, maybe he would want this. So my options were fairly limited for the amount I had. So I went ahead and did that. I figured the green with the gold would be cool for like a dragon's egg theme. It became clear pretty quickly that I did not have enough to actually finish the bag. It's a crochet pattern, by the way, and it was not a free pattern, but it was only a couple of dollars, I think. And so I ended up with what I called the dragon's egg bowl, and basically started it as I would the bag, and then did a few repeats of the pattern, and then when it was the height I wanted, I just slip stitched around a couple of times and finished it off, and I gave it to my husband and said he could take it to his classroom or do whatever he wanted to do with it. So that was a really quick afternoon project. And then the other finished object is not really a finished object. It's kind of a half finished object, sort of. It's been my spinning. I finally finished the Three Waters Farm that I actually had started, I think maybe the morning we recorded last, if not the morning before, maybe the day before. It was Sky Behind the Trees and 100% Poleworth, and my intention is, was and still is, to ply it with the companion braid that I got at the same time, which was The Light in the Trees. I had anticipated finishing both of those and plying it into the wool, but I might have been two-thirds of the way done when we got to the end of the wool, if that. It was spinning very, very thin, and it took me a full month to spin those singles. So I finally finished that maybe last weekend, and I can only call it half finished because they're all singles, but it's almost a full bobbin of singles. So those are the only finished objects that I have. Works in progress. Do you want me to keep talking, or do you want to start?
It doesn't matter. Back?
I'll let you go.
Let's see. Well, the heat has finally broke.
Yes.
And the humidity has finally broke, and we have the weekend at home.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah. Between going to Tennessee and Stitches last weekend. So I sat on the patio all morning because it's awesome.
It's cloudy. It is still awesome. Don't get me wrong. But yesterday we had these brilliant blue skies. And it was the perfect fall day. And I was expecting the same today. And it's pretty cloudy.
I was outside from 10:30 till 2:30 because I wanted to take a shower and soak some yarn. So I've been inside since 2:30, but I'd be happy because of the sun issue with
me. It is very nice, but back to your story.
But anyway, so this morning I cast on the Riley Rose shawl by Jennifer Lassonde, who's Boston Jen, who hosts the Down Cellar Studio podcast. This is her latest design. It's a three-color shawl knit sideways instead of long ways with different sections of stitch texture. Like I said, it's a three-color shawl, but I'm using four. I'm using a kit I had that I never got around to using for an Ashburn shawl from Plucky. So I'm using Bellow Fingering and Princess Phone, which is a pretty gold. Medieval, which is a dark gray. High Cotton, which is a medium to light gray. And then Primo Fingering Breakfast on Fifth, which is a pretty teal, light teal. So I started that this morning, and I'm still in the first section. And then I have four socks on the needles. Three pairs. I have, and I'm using the OMG heel socks by Megan Williams. I'm doing toe up on size 1.5. 64 stitches, except for the Knit Circus, which is at 56, but we'll see how that works out. So the first pair is Rockin' String Creations, using a colorway called Bleeding Heart, which is a self-striping. It's a dark red, like a pink, a dark pink, and then almost like a black, and then maybe one other color. So that's the self-striping. I'm almost to the heel turn on that. I have a Knit Circus. They're comes in already caked in two separate balls. So I have two socks of that going. I'm using Greatest of Ease, which is a really heavy fingering, maybe even almost a sport. It's really heavy compared to other sock yarns. In Twister Stripes, so it's a gradient that twists upon itself. And it's got pinks and gray and blue and yellow and I think maybe a green. So I'm in the feet part on both of those. Because I had to frog because it felt really big, but now I'm concerned that maybe it's too small.
Oh no.
I don't know. We'll see. I think I'm going to knit to the heel on one of them. I may increase to 64 right before the heel, knit through the heel and see how it is before I continue on.
Yeah.
And then I am using, my other sock, which is at work, is, on Query Fiber. It's a special colorway for Socktober with the Carolina Fiber Girls. It's a variegated with orange and teal and brown. It's really, really pretty. And I'm probably
really pretty.
Halfway through the foot on that.
That's amazing. What I find with sock yarn with socks is if the yarn is really pretty, they go so fast because you just want to keep knitting on them.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, here I am. I've only knit two complete pairs of socks in the 7 years I've knit, and I have four socks on the needle, all to the point of almost to the heels. Mm-hmm. And their toe up, which seems to go faster. But
yeah, me too.
So my goal this weekend is to turn at least a heel on the Rockin' String and one of the Knit Circus ones so I can see if those work.
My knit works in progress. Technically I have three socks on the needles too, but only two of them am I actively working on right now. I am working on a pair of socks using Rockin' String Creations and Appalachian Autumn. And I think at the last episode when we were in the hotel room, I didn't have it, so I couldn't name the colors, but I have it here this time. So it is like a forest green, not quite that dark, kind of an earthy green. I don't know.
dark grassy green. Yeah.
Yellow, kind of a, well, nice they're all gold. Autumns. Yeah, golden color. A brown, which is a nice tonal brown. Pumpkin orange. A kind of wine-ish color, and then purple. The wine and the purple are actually so close together that in the right light, it almost looks like one big wide stripe. One big wide stripe. And that's actually the only thing I don't like about this yarn is that I don't think there's enough contrast between those two colors. I don't know what I would have
between preferred. The orange and the red?
Or between the red and the purple.
Maybe just, once you get some more green done.
Yeah. Maybe so. Yeah. But, so this one I started, well, not this one. I started these socks at Into the Wool. And once I got home, I got through the heel. I was doing the Smooth Operator socks by Susan B. Anderson. Finished the heel and put them on and they were wearable, but they were pretty tight. So, I immediately just ripped them out and cast on again. I like I really like the fabric I'm getting. So with the same needles, I cast on 64 instead of 56. So at this point, I am right at one, stripe sequence repeat done. I started with the green and I'm just starting the green again. And I was thinking about this earlier today. And I think I'm just going to do OMG with these and not worry about this. I don't really care about the stripe sequence maintaining itself that much. They're in my shoes. I don't care. And I like the look with the Afterthought heels, but I don't really like working them. I find them fiddly, and I really like the way the OMG heel fits, so I think I'm just going to stick with that. They'll get done faster, I think. So there's that pair. And then I am still working on the number 2 pencil socks, which I talked about, I don't know, I guess I talked about it a little bit about in the Into the Wool episode. We talked about what we had been working on while we were there. I am almost done with the first sock. I've done kind of my own pattern on these. I did the toe from the OMG heel pattern. And then I did Vanilla Latte on the foot and the body. Almost, okay. So this yarn starts out, the toe is a little ball of black and then tan, so pencil lead and the wood part. And then a big ball of pencil yellow. And then some gray for the little metal piece that goes around the top of a pencil and pink for the eraser. So I did the Vanilla Latte pattern for all of the yellow for the body, which was really nice because it really does mimic the shape of a pencil. And then I just did stockinette for the silver. I was going to try to add some kind of texture to it, but I wasn't quite sure how many rows I would need to do. And I didn't want to rip out to try to fix it later. So I just did stockinette, and I'm doing a 1x1 rib for the eraser, and I am probably about a little more than halfway done. I'm working on these over breaks and at lunch at work, and I will finish the first one probably on Monday. And these will be a Christmas gift for my husband, so I've got plenty of time on that. They've gone really fast considering how big his feet are. Mm-hmm. So he wears a size 11, which is, it actually works out to an 11-inch foot. So, and I'm doing 72 stitches around. So these are big socks. And then I also cast on a Riley Rose shawl by Jennifer Lassonde. I bought the yarn for that at Stitches last week. I will talk about more about that experience when we talk about acquisitions. But I am using Stunning String Studio in Wild Blue Yonder. I believe the second one is called Westminster Blue. That's what I was typing, and then I'm doubting myself, and I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And then Gouda, which are kind of a lighter, kind of a denim-y blue, a darker blue, and kind of a golden yellow. And I actually am very, Katie and I are almost at exactly the same spot on that. I am probably about 8 repeats away from being done with the first
about where I am.
The first section. And so I was telling Katie this at work the other day. I have some tips for this. Because I didn't pay attention and I had to rip it out twice. And this has absolutely nothing to do with how the pattern is written. It has to do with my airheadedness. So first tip is in the pattern, which is a paid pattern, Jennifer has a link to a video that she did on how to do the cast on. And I'm sure the directions are actually adequate. But I was having a hard time wrapping my head around it just when I was reading through it, so I watched it, and it's very, very good, and it helped me visualize what was going on. It also helped me a little bit in when I kept thinking something was wrong based on, I kept, as she's doing it, she's slipping with the yarn and back, and I'm like, why is she doing that? I should have thought maybe there was a reason. So when I slip with the yarn in the back. So part of this pattern, you're slipping stitches. And I was slipping like I normally did. And I had done maybe a repeat or two. And it just wasn't looking right. And I had my iPad open, the pattern open. And I'm just kind of sitting there, kind of gazing at the pattern, not really trying to figure out what it is. And then this line pops up. Slip with yarn in front. It's like, oh. Really?
Well, she tells you that one place in the pattern, but for every other instance, she just says slip one. Right. She should really have said slip one with yarn in front.
Yeah, so I didn't pay attention to that. And luckily, I was not very far, so I ripped out, cast on again. And about the same spot, I'm thinking, this does not look right. And then, I'm sitting kind of gazing at the pattern. And this is very good. On every page of the pattern, she has a little box that has the pattern for the edging. And that's when I noticed that it says wrong side and right. Yeah, wrong side and right side, which are flipped. And I just hadn't paid attention at all. So I had to rip it out again. And then third time's a charm. As soon as, they were, like I said, the pattern was written fine. I just didn't pay any attention. So those are my tips. Yarn in front and pay attention to right side and wrong side.
Well, especially if you've never done Judy's Magic Cast On, and this is actually a little bit different because you're only working off of one needle for the first couple rows. Since you had told me that, I probably wouldn't have watched the video if you hadn't told me. And so I watched the video
Because I don't usually I'm like, oh, I can just follow it. This one, in this particular case, I do recommend it.
Yeah.
Because it is very helpful to see what she's doing on that. And what was, I think the best part of that for me is you know what it's supposed to look like at the end. I'm like, mine does not look like hers did. So that is my tip. I am really enjoying working on this so far. The part I'm on right now is just garter stitch, but there's just something, I love the edging on it so much.
Yeah, I keep stretching mine out. Like,
me too. It's just really nice. And it's probably like kind of caressing the edge on it. I love this shawl so far. And then the last thing that I am currently working on is the color study by Carolee Harding. And I'm using Daisy Knits Hardy, which I think is a discontinued base, in Wicked Cool with the Sweet Georgia Tough Love Sock in Boysenberry. And I'm making progress on this. The rows are getting a little bit longer. I was actually working on this. Was it stitches? I think I was in the hotel last Saturday night. Oh. And I was actually falling asleep while I was doing it. I actually found a drop stitch this morning when I picked it up for the first time since then. So I have not done very much. I was going to work on that this week. Then I cast on the Riley Rose and I couldn't put that down. So I have picked it back up. Trying very well. We'll talk about this casting on soon. I'll get to that in a minute. And then spinning, I already mentioned. I did the blue that I plan to ply with what I'm spinning now, which is Three Waters Farm 100% Polworth in The Light in the Trees, which is white and tan and the same blue that was in the complimentary braid that I just spun, some kind of sagey green, a little kind of rose colors. It's really pretty, and it's much more exciting to spin than the blue was. So I also ripped that into much smaller pieces to do because those go a lot faster. And if my goal is to spend one of those a day. I have not really spun very much. This past week was it was a doozy. It was just very busy. I was so tired at the end of the day that I actually didn't want to spin. But I finally sat down and spun for about 30 minutes or so today, and I'm really enjoying that. But like I was going to say, my goal is to spin one little, little nests of fiber per day. And some days it happens, some days I get a little bit more, some days the pieces are just a little bit longer and I just don't have time or don't have the stamina to keep at it. But those are all of my works in progress. I'll move into casting on soon. I didn't write anything in our show notes, but I don't know if this counts as casting on soon or not, but it is. If you listen to the Carolina Fiber Girls, it's October, and I really want to be working on socks. This is really works in progress, not casting on soon, because I have another pair of socks cast on that I want to pick up. So I'm kind of debating on whether or not to put down everything but socks for a little while and just work on those, or keep kind of mix it up and do socks one night and do something else another night. I'm not sure. I don't have any plans for anything very specific cast on soon. I want to cast on something with my hand spun. The next skein I have is a dark green, kind of a very dark foresty green merino that I actually don't know how much I have. I would guess I probably have between 80 to 100 yards. It feels like I have more than what I had of the one I made the Dragon Ball with, but I'm not sure. I need to measure it out. It may be enough for a cowl or a hat. I don't know what I'll do with it. Katie does have some plans, apparently, for casting on soon.
Yeah. Today, when I came in, I was out soaking yarn to make sure it didn't bleed. I'm going to cast on the Ohm Shawl by Andrea Mowry. It's one of those big, huge wraps with buttons. Oh. It's a worsted weight one. So the MC is Wanderlust. Again, gray. And then it has in the middle a ton of buttons, like 19 buttons. And you have just panels of color with their textured stitches or mm-hmm. whatever. So I'm going to use Social Graces, which is kind of a blue-green, pastel-y kind of Melba, which is kind of a muted red-orange, orange-red, and then Gilded Age, which is a gold. So those will be the other three colors that go with the Wanderlust. So I have yarn upstairs drying right now because I wanted to make sure they didn't, because there's a color work section too. You have stripes of color or sections of color and then you intermix. There's a ferrule section.
Oh.
So I wanted to make sure nothing bled or whatever. And yeah, the yellow is the only one that was still kind of bleeding, but I don't think it'll stain anything. All the other colors are darker.
Oh, you'll probably be okay.
Yeah. So they've all been soaked and so they're hanging to dry and I'll get my houseboy to wind them for me next week. So
gotta put them to work.
Darn right. Yeah.
So Stitches Texas. We went to Stitches Texas. We got some stuff.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about your non-Stitches stuff? I see you have at least one thing, or do you want me to go into Stitches and then you can talk?
I don't care.
I'll keep talking.
Okay.
Well, I see I have something else too, now that I think about it. So I got my third shipment of the Elemental Fibers Visions of Fiber Club. I think that sign-ups just closed for her next installment, the 3-month installment of that. But you might, if you're interested, you might want to check. I've only spun one of the braids so far, but I really liked it, and I've liked the other colors that I've gotten. This month's September's was Earth, And I don't remember what the base was at all. We have no memory at all. But it was, you know, colors you would expect to be earth color. It was very green, but I think there were probably some browns, maybe some blues in there too. But stitches. So I was actually, I felt like I was pretty restrained. I spent maybe a little more than I had wanted or I had planned to, but it was under control for the most part. One of the things that I had specifically wanted to shop for was yarn for the Riley Rose. And when I was really good and did for the, I think I made it all the way around until maybe we got to Java Jenny's booth before I actually made a purchase. I don't remember. No, actually, I had to make a purchase at my first stop, but I'll get to that in a minute. But I was really good and made a round first before purchasing anything because I wanted to buy intentionally. One of the first booths we stopped at was Stunning String Creations, and she just had a wall of color. I mean, it was, people who have seen Sun Valley Fibers, I think it is, talk about how she has this wall of colors, and they said that reminded them of that selection. There was just, I mean, basically any color you wanted, you were probably going to find in some variation or multiple variations. So I looked around there for a little while and knew that I would come back eventually. And when I came back, I was trying to pull up some type of color theory chart to kind of help me make a decision about the contrast color. I went back and forth between, you know, a couple of greens with some other contrast or reds and some other contrast. And I ended up grabbing a couple of blues and I was sitting and looking at them and I couldn't decide. And I'm looking at my phone and the vendor came up and asked, you know, if she could help me. And I am not one generally to go up and ask for help, but if it's offered, then I will gladly accept it. And I was like, yeah, I'm trying to get the contrast. And she said, oh yeah, this is my favorite part. So she was really excited about helping me and almost immediately picked up a yellow. And so we tried a couple of yellows and ended up with this one that was a little bit on, it was a warmer yellow rather than a cooler yellow. And it's just a really nice dark contrast to the blues. And I was very, very pleased with her service. It was really nice. So I got that. And then these are in no particular order. I got, I went to Twisted Owl Fiberworks and I follow Abby on Instagram and have followed her for a while. I met her last year at Stitches after we'd been following each other. And I am shy, but I'm more, it's like, if I don't think you are going to know who I am, I'm really hesitant to introduce myself. I don't want to be embarrassed, I guess. But, so I saw her, but I hadn't said anything. I was talking to her husband. I was checking out and she actually called my name and we chatted for a little while. And I ended up buying the worsted in Cosmos, which is, it's a speckled yarn. It's kind of on a cream base, but I would say the whole thing kind of has an overwash of a yellowy color. And it had speckles of yellow and orange and kind of a slate blue, maybe a little bit of pinkish orange, or maybe that's the orange that I'm thinking of in there. And these are not my typical colors, but every time I would grab a different one, I would find that I would have grabbed another one of those. So I thought it was meant to be. And she was sweet enough to give me a couple of DK minis in the colors that the colors that were the speckles were in. So now I need to find something that I can incorporate all the main color plus the two contrast colors. And I'm having a very hard time coming up with anything for that. And then, so I mentioned that I actually had to. My arm was twisted so hard. But at the first stop the first booth we went to, I had to buy something. We went and saw Heidi, who is the owner of Undead Yarns. the first thing when we first got there. We had roomed with her and Jeanette, Bookish Stitcher, at Into the Wool. So we wanted to go meet up with her. And she had remembered to set aside a skein of self-striping that I had wanted it Into the Wool, but my budget was gone at that time. And I had told her I would buy it. So bought that immediately. And that one is on her Von Fieri base, which is a merino nylon in the Troll colorway. And I didn't bring it, and I'm not sure I can describe it. It's kind of pale greens and grays, and maybe some blues in there. I'm really interested. There's not a lot of contrast between the stripes, so I'm really interested, or at least looking at it in the skein, it doesn't look like there are, so I'm really interested to see how it will knit up. But I loved it so much at Into the Wool. I was so happy that Heidi remembered to set it aside for me. Then my other intentional, I knew for sure I wanted Jinx yarns, because I actually, at one point I was like, I'm just going to buy all the Jinx. And I got there and there were so many other things that I wanted too, but I ended up, I bought a braid of fiber in the Pumpkin Patch colorway, and it is either Masham or BFL. Both of them is actually written on the label, so I'm not sure which one it is. I think it might be Masham or Masham. I've heard various different ways to pronounce that, because it feels a little fuzzier than BFL. It doesn't necessarily feel like the BFL that I have spun before. Oh, okay. Do you want to pause it?
If you want.
Yeah, we'll pause for just a minute. Sorry, guys. We'll be back. Oh, I should have cleared my throat before I hit unpause. So I was talking about the fiber that I bought from Jinx Yarn. It was it was in Pumpkin Patch, which is a very, very dark orangey brown. It was more, I would say more brown than orange. Didn't really look pumpkin-y. Well, no, you know what it looked like? It looked like if you open up a can of pumpkin.
Oh, yeah.
More so than like the pumpkin you see growing on the ground. But I really like that. And then Katie was nice enough to buy me a skein of yarn in exchange for having driven to Tennessee and to Dallas. So I picked self-striping in Gingerbread House, which is kind of, it's a white stripe and brown, like gingerbread brown, and then a stripe of speckled, like candy, like you would expect for a Gingerbread House. I'll be interested to see how that how that knits up, what the striping sequence actually looks like. And at that point, oh wait, no, that's not true. We had gone to Kitchen Counter Crafter. I have followed Java Jenny on Instagram probably for almost as long as I've been on Instagram. So it was really nice to finally meet her. She, you know, immediately showed me that she was using a stitch marker that my mom had made from one of the Zombie Knitpocalypse retreats. And there was a lot of talk about J.J. Watt. That was just a lot of fun to meet her. And the bag I got was kind of a gray spider web print. If you follow Heidi, who is Undead Heidi, on Instagram, she actually posted a picture, I think today being Saturday, of her bag, which was very similar to one I got. But mine has one spider on it. And she was so funny, because she made sure that I knew that it did have a spider, because some people apparently freak out when they realize there's a spider on the bag. But that was actually the reason I liked it. I ended up getting it with a drawstring instead of kind of her trademark snap top, which I like the snap top, but I think Katie inadvertently persuaded me into getting the drawstring, because it is much easier to kind of squish that down into a bag. So that was, at that point I had intended to be finished, and we went and hung out in Heidi's booth. She was kind of down at the end of the aisle, and it was kind of a slow afternoon. So we hung out there and chatted for a while, and she was about two or three booths away from Hill Country Weavers, who had a nice stock of Hedgehog. And I had actually intended to buy that and then had reached my budget and had decided, you know, I could always get that. But every time I would walk past or someone would walk past with it, I would want some more. And then the owner or one of the people who was working there came by Heidi's booth and she said something, or Heidi said something about it looked like they were doing good business. And she said, no, everybody just wants to pet. And I'm like, I want to go pet some more. And so I went down there and I was like, okay, fine. I gave in and ended up buying a skein of sock yarn in the pod colorway. And I did not bring it, but it has greens and blues and this bright pop of kind of a reddish orange that was really what grabbed me. And I'll make some type of shawl with that, but I'm not sure what yet. So that is all of my Stitches acquisitions. I feel like I did pretty good. A little bit of restraint. I'll let Katie talk about what
she got. We were much more reserved this year.
Mm-hmm. I think the novelty from last year just all, it wore off.
Well, that was part of it, and you didn't have Mustache, you didn't have Western Sky Knits, Yoth wasn't, you know, you didn't have some of the big ones that were there last year.
Yeah.
Acquisitions outside of Stitches, I got a skein of Mustache in her Autumn Afterglow, which she's doing another school of stash with Sivia Harding. The yarn was pretty. That's why I bought it. I'm not doing the sock or whatever. It's a pattern sock. And mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah.
I saw a picture. She posted a picture today in that yarn. It's really pretty.
Yeah, so it's self-striping in like a leafy green, a red. I think there's blue, maybe a purple and an orange. So I got a skein of that. And then I'm in the Knit Circus Gradient Club. That came today.
That's very autumny.
It's called Toasted Marshmallows. Oh. Toasting Marshmallows. So the club rotates through various sizes of yarn. So this is a hand wash in the Lavish base, which has 20% cashmere. You can feel that cashmere.
That's really nice. It's so pretty. That is really soft.
So it's a big gradient cake that starts with a nice light orange to a medium orange to red, dark red into a brown. So nice fall colors. And it comes with some pattern suggestions, and that is on the Lavish base, which is 400 yards, so it's a nice big skein to do a shawl with. So those are the things outside of Stitches. And then Stitches, that was actually pretty good. I think partly because I got so much at Into the Wool. Mm-hmm. I got yarn from Stunning String as well. I got four skeins of I think it's a DK base called Plump, which is a super wash. I got two in a light gray called Stone, a purple called Regal Purple. Mm-hmm. So it's a really nice
beautiful purple.
Dark grapey purple, and then there's more of a, that's not it, I don't know, it's like a lilac maybe, mm-hmm. called
or Plum. Lavender, maybe.
Lavender. Mm-hmm. Plum Frog.
It's another one of those purple colors.
And so I'm going to use this for a fun shawl. Which is a triangular shawl by Andrea Mowry. And so the gray is my MC, and then the purple will be the stripe. The two purples will be the stripes, and then there's a big big section in the middle. I got some Jinx. I got two skeins of self-striping. in her strong sock. One is called October Rainbow. So it's blue, kind of a purple red, some green or olives, some orange, like golden orange pumpkin colors. It tells you here. Four rows, maroon, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple. So it goes red and purple. And then another skein of strong self-striping, confetti and champagne. So three rows champagne, which must be like this yellow. Pink speckles, gray, purple speckles, champagne, green speckles, gray, and blue speckles. It's a self-striping. And then I went a little bit outside my comfort zone. I mean, I like all these colors. It's just not something I normally pick the first thing off the wall. At Twisted Owl Fiber Studio, I got two skeins of their Super Sock in the Technicolor Cowgirl. So it's like a cream base with like a dark blue, magenta, some like gold splashes. So it's kind of between a variegated and a speckled. And I'm kind of toying with the idea of a Pure Joy. Mm-hmm. So I thought, and I have plenty of solids between Plucky and some Three Irish Girls that I could find.
Yeah.
A pink or a blue or something, or even gold would be really outside my comfort zone of, I mean, I like golds and I use golds, but to make that as the,
like the main color,
as the, the bottom big stripe,
yeah,
is a little outside my comfort zone. And then kind of in the same color vein is, this was the exclusive colorway for Stitches called Twisted Owl. Again, it's in the Super Sock. So it's more variegated than speckly. It has more, it was like the cream colored, it has, I guess, like a light mint green overwash. And then there's like a dark orange, gold, a dark fuchsia pink, and some speckles, but it's slightly more variegated. So those are the three I got there. And then the last skein I got was Fresh from the Cauldron. I got that at Kixotic Fibers. Mm-hmm. It was an odd little place. This is a graduated skein, so it's like a gradient maybe, or it's in sections and pixelated between the colors, and it's in Black Orchid. So it's a dark purple, and then there's like a brown, light tan brown maybe, and then some pink. So I don't know, maybe a TGV or something like that. Yeah, I don't want to knit everything as a hitchhiker or whatever, so maybe a TGV or something that would show off the gradient kind of. And then I got a bag and some whip cozies from Java Jenny, and we tried to one-up each other on JJ Watt, and I got a bag from Erin Lane. Yeah, that's it. I got some stitch markers and stuff from Stunning String. But I was pretty reserved.
Yeah.
I made myself stop.
Okay. So, other crafty pursuits. The only thing, I have still been working on the Frosted Pumpkin Stitchery National Parks Club. I think the last time, I guess, yeah, the first clue came out maybe right after we recorded last time. I don't remember the date of when we recorded last time. It had either just come out or was getting ready to come out. And it was just, the first clue was just kind of setting it up. It has, in the middle, it says the slam was made for you and me. And then at the top it has something about national parks, and then I don't know what the bottom, it has something else at the bottom. For the first clue, all I did was the middle portion because the two other portions were at the top and at the bottom, and there was quite a bit of empty space between them. And I know that I would get off in my count, so I decided to wait and do those after I had done more of the next clue. The next clue came out last week. I think it was last week. It was the Thursday before we went to Stitches. And the first two parks that are represented are Yellowstone, Yosemite. Wait. Which one is the first, was the first?
Yellowstone.
Yeah, so Yellowstone, and it's got a little bison. And yep. Then the other one was I don't know the name of the park, but the Hawaiian park with the volcanoes, whatever.
Volcanoes National Park.
Is that what it's called?
Well, there is a Volcanoes National Park.
That's probably what it is. And so that's the second part. I am about two-thirds of the way done with the Yosemite portion, and it's going pretty quickly. I'm doing probably 30 minutes or so per night when I can. I am trying really hard to keep on track so that I can actually do the clues as they come out this time. But you've got a good month between clues. Sometimes the clues come out too fast for me to keep up, but this one I'm doing a pretty good job. So, Summer Reading Knit Along has wrapped up. We got quite a few submissions, at least on one category. I think it was the novel category that had about 27 submissions. And we got some for every category. And we had a little bit of chatter. Not a whole lot of chatter. But I think it turned out pretty good. We have six prizes to give out. We're going to give out one each for each of the categories and two for the chatter category. And we've already drawn for these in the interest of time. But let's get on okay. with it. So for the novel category, we are giving away a skein of My Hand Spun, and it's in the Cadbury Eggs for Breakfast colorway, and the fiber was by Brazen Stitchery. It's Easter egg colors, exactly what you would expect by Easter egg colors, and it was a merino bamboo, if I remember correctly, probably DK to worsted weight, and I think, if I remember correctly, it was probably, I don't remember the yardage on it, but it was a decent amount of yardage. Easily enough for a cowl, for sure. And the winner of that one was number 10, and that is Crouching Cheese. She is Angie. So, Angie, we are actually going to, or I am going to send out PMs to everybody just so I know that you get them. I don't want to spend a few months waiting for people to get back to me. So I will let y'all know, but if you happen to hear it before I get back to you, send me a message with your address. The next category was the Chunkster category, and the prize for this one is a skein of Daisy Knits, and I forgot to actually write down what the colorway, I do know that it was a merino tencel base. I don't remember the colorway name, but it was a very peachy color. It was very pretty, and the winner of that is Elle McCall, who is Linda. The next prize was for the box set, and that was the prize for that is Undead Yarn, and that I'm almost certain that's in her Vampiri base, and I don't remember the colorway for that one either, but it was a very dark dusky blue, and the winner of that one is Crazy Knitting Fool, who is Kristen. For short story, the prize is a skein of Rock and String Creations in her, I think it was Simple Sock. Or super
Jitterbug.
Soft. Oh, Jitterbug.
Yeah.
And there's a fingering, 80% superwash merino, 20% nylon, 400 yards. And it is in the Urban Oasis colorway. which is grays with kind of teals and greens.
Purples
and golds, yeah. And the winner for that one is Phoenix Fire, who is Tracy. And for the chatter thread, we are drawing two for that one. The first one is the little wooden sock blocker keychain by JD Crafts. And the winner for that one is number 12, who was Jill Serenity. I forgot to mention the numbers for those. For Chunkster, that was number 7. Box set was number 3, just in case anybody wants to verify. And then I said number 12, Jill Serenity, for the sock blocker. And for the Diana Couture DPN holder, that was number 17, who is E. Kelly O., who is Kelly. So I will be in touch with you all. Again, if you hear this before, feel free to just send me your address, and I will get these in the mail as soon as possible. Hopefully it won't take me too terribly long, but I will get them. I promise I will get them in the mail soon. So that was a lot of fun. We will talk about other knit-alongs. We haven't discussed anything recently, but I know there have been some other suggestions. We've got some holidays coming up. It might be fun to do something. Maybe do something small. But we will keep y'all up to date on that. Up to date.
Yep. We're fancy here.
We are fancy. We're in Texas, y'all. In the kitchen, I don't have a whole lot to talk about. Although I was just saying, I did buy a new toy today. I bought myself a pressure cooker, an electronic pressure cooker. And that's about all I have to say about it because it showed up at my door while I was sitting here recording, so I haven't played with it yet. I intend to maybe try something out tomorrow just to play. I just needed a new toy. But the only thing, again, I'm just not feeling the baking lately, and I've been so... We've gone out to eat way too often, so I'm not cooking very much either. But we try to do a monthly birthday lunch at work for people, you know, with birthdays in that month. We'll grab a bunch of people and just go to, there's a food court down the road from the library. And I volunteered to bring the cake this time because, it was my boss's birthday. And a couple of years ago, I had brought this particular recipe for some reason to work. And she told me that day, my birthday's September 26th, and you can bring me this. So I remembered that forever. So I found the recipe again. It was Lunch Lady Brownies. And if you use Pinterest, that's where I found it. And I found various different versions, various different postings with it in it, and I'll tell a story about, you know, supposedly the recipe from the school cafeteria. There's one story that talks about it being from this specific middle school, then I found another one that also said it was from their middle school, so it's one of these internet recipe urban legends, but they are very basic brownies, but the brownies themselves are not overly sweet. And they have a frosting, and I am more about the fudgy brownies that don't need a frosting rather than the cakey brownies, but this works really well as a cake. Like since we were taking it for birthday lunch.
The frosting
is very sweet. Yeah. The brownie itself is not overly sweet. Yeah. So it depends on what you like. I like it. It's not my, like I said, it's not my top choice, but for if you like a cakey brownie, this is not a bad option. And I can post a link to it in the Ravelry group. Or you can search Lunch Lady Brownies and you'll probably find it. I know I saw a version by Six Sisters, I think is the blog. But yeah, that was my in the kitchen. Hopefully, maybe next time I will have tried out the Instant Pot and can give some recommendations on good things to try there. So reading and watching, I'm all it. Do you have anything, Katie?
Nothing terribly exciting. I read, I didn't put it in the show notes, but I read The Girl on the Train by Paula Hawkins. Mm-hmm. It was 3.5-4 stars. I liked it. I wanted to read it before the movie came out. Mm-hmm. I'm currently reading a YA book called Three Dark Crowns by Kendare Blake. It's a YA book.
Maybe Kendari? I've heard it. We featured that person. I can't remember if they're male or female. Female, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. As one of our featured authors when we were doing that for the kids and teens pages.
Okay. So it's a story about this kingdom, and every generation there's a set of triplet girls born, and one of the girls is to become queen. Mm-hmm. So at the age of 6, they're separated, and they go and live with these other families to be basically to get their powers and whatnot. And then when they turn 16, they come back together and fight to the death.
Oh, fine.
To see who will then be the queen, and then mm-hmm. history repeats itself.
Oh, wow.
So I'm about 40% through the book. You do have to kind of keep each of the three queens. There's Mirabella, Arsinoe, and Catherine. You have to keep each three of them separate, plus all the characters that are tied to each of them. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of characters that start with L-U something, like Luca, Lucian, and then they intermix. So we're to the point where they've had their birthdays, and so what's called the quickening or the hastening is coming up, where they're going to see each other once again, and it's all going to go down. So we'll see what happens. It's getting mixed reviews on Goodreads. You know, some people love it, some people hate it, so. Otherwise I really haven't read anything very exciting. Just the usual stuff.
The last time we recorded, I was reading Ravensbrück, which is about the women's concentration camp. I maybe got about a third of the way done with that one before my overdrive checkout expired, so I'm back on hold for that one, but there are three people ahead of me, so it'll be a while before I get back to that one. I will finish reading it. It's obviously not an upbeat book, but it was really interesting, so I want to finish it, but I'm going to read other things in the meantime. The first thing I finished after we recorded last time was The After Party, which is by Anton De Sclafani. And it is set here in Houston. It was about basically some socialites. This was set in the 1950s in River Oaks, which is a very frou-frou rich area of Houston. Like, super rich, especially in that time. I mean, it still is, but in that time, that was where, you know, anybody that was anybody lived in River Oaks. So I'm terrible at describing books, so I'm just going to read the description. It's like, from the nationally best-selling author of The Yonelossie Writing Camp for Girls comes a story of 1950s Texas socialites and the one irresistible, controversial woman at the bright, hot center of it all. Fortier is the epitome of Texas glamour in the center of the 1950s Houston social scene. Tall, blonde, beautiful, and strong, she dominates the room and the gossip columns. Every man who sees her seems to want her. Every woman just wants to be her. But this is a highly ordered world of garden clubs and debutante balls. The money may flow as freely as the oil, but the freedom and power all belong to the men. What happens when a woman of indecorous appetites and desires like Joan wants more? What does it do to her best friend? Devoted to Joan since childhood, Cece Buchanan is either her chaperone or her partner in crime, depending on whom you ask. But as Joan's radical behavior escalates, Cece's perspective shifts, forcing one provocative choice to appear the only one there is. A thrilling glimpse into the sphere of the rich and beautiful at a memorable moment in history, The After Party unfurls a story of friendship as obsessive, euphoric, consuming, and complicated as any romance. So I wanted to read this because it was based in Houston. It was also, my library is doing an online book club, and this was the first selection, so I wanted to read it as part of that. This was a tough one. I liked the writing. I liked the story. I absolutely detested the characters. I didn't like any one of the characters. Just that lifestyle has no interest for me at all. And it was just they were just not good people. The best friend was just so dependent on this other woman and just couldn't. It was very infuriating to watch her make really bad decisions because she couldn't not do what this woman wanted or what she had to be with her. It was just, so that was not a very not a great review. I honestly think that maybe if you didn't live in Houston, you might like it a little bit more because I'm just not thrilled with that.
You don't have the context of knowing what that neighborhood is like or whatever.
Right. But at the same time, I being in Houston, I really did enjoy the references to the city. And like it talked about the Shamrock Hotel, which I know was a big, it was where everybody went. I mean, that was where the stars would stay and they had a big nightclub scene and that we had a display at the library a few years ago. There were a lot of pictures from the Shamrock. So that part was interesting. But yeah, you have to get past the characters. I did give it 4 stars because the book itself was good. Those characters. And then the one I just finished was The Daughters by Adrienne Celt. And again, I'm going to read this one. This one was, I gave 3 stars. It was very slow. It wasn't boring slow, but it was just very slow paced. And I had a little bit of magical realism. I liked it. I just liked it. So here's the description. Lulu can't sing. The traumatic birth of her daughter, the internationally renowned soprano, hasn't dared utter a note. She's afraid that her body is too fragile and that she may have lost her talent to a long-dreaded curse afflicting all of the mothers in her family. When Lulu was a child, her strong-willed grandmother, Ada, filled her head with fables of the family's enchanted history in the Polish countryside. A fantastical lore took hold, an incantatory mix of young love, desperate hope, and one sinister bargain that altered the family's history forever. Since that fateful pact, Ada tells Lulu, every mother in their family has been given a daughter, but each daughter has exacted an essential cost from her mother. Ada was the first to recognize young Lulu's transcendent talent, spotting it early on in their cramped Chicago apartment, then watching her granddaughter ascend to dizzying heights in packed international concert halls. But as the curse predicted, Lulu's mother, a sultry and elusive jazz singer, disappeared into her bitterness in the face of Lulu's superior talent, before disappearing from her family's life altogether. Now in the early days of her own daughter's life, Lulu now finds herself weighing her overwhelming love for her child against the burden of her family's past. In incandescent prose, debut novelist Adrienne Celt skillfully intertwines the sensuous but precise physicality of both motherhood and music. She infuses the daughters with the spirit of the Rusalka, a bewitching figure of Polish mythology that inspired Dvorak's classic opera. The result is a tapestry of secrets, affairs, and unimaginable sacrifices revealing family legacy laced with brilliance, tragedy, and most mysterious and seductive of all, the resonant ancestral lore that binds each mother to the one that came before. Sounds really good. It was a little lackluster. So that was The Daughters by Adrienne Celt. I wouldn't not recommend it. I wouldn't highly recommend it either. It was an okay read. And then I'm currently reading Liberty Falling by Nevada Barr, which is the 7th in the Anna Pigeon mystery series. I'm about a third of the way through that one, maybe. I don't even think I'm a third of the way through. It's set on in New York City, surrounding, a child jumped to her death from the Statue of Liberty, and of course there's going to be some mystery surrounding that, but I haven't gotten into that yet and what the actual intrigue is. I'm enjoying it so far. It's really interesting. I've been reading a lot of these over the past year, and the writing style is very different in almost every one I read. This one is much more flowery, lyrical language. Some of them are much more, concise, succinct language. I don't know if it's one of those, is this the same person writing? Or does she just enjoy maybe playing with her writing style for each one? Maybe that's what keeps her going between the different
Is she mysteries. Write different series?
I think this is her only series. Yeah.
But her name's familiar, yeah. But I don't, you know, is she like, like a Charlene Harris or something who has written three or four different series at the same time?
I think this is her only series, but I could be wrong. And they're all, every one of them is set in a different national park.
Right.
And, I think this one was written probably late 90s. So it was pre-2000.
Are you reading them in order?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of those you kind of have. I feel like it would make more sense to read them in order. I wouldn't want to skip around. They're not necessarily interdependent on one another, but characters are introduced and things are referred to that happened in the past that you would understand more if you read the previous ones. Yeah. But, we haven't been watching anything at all. School has started, which really, I mean, I will choose to sit and watch a podcast and knit if I have a choice. And during the summer, we tend to watch a lot more television because Jimmy likes to watch more during the summer. And then Laura's home, and Laura likes to watch a lot, but she'll also take a computer and go in her room and watch. So, and Eli just plays games on his computer. So, I think that's it. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I have no idea what the schedule is these days. We'll probably record in about 3 weeks as normal. I don't...
2 or 3 weeks? Because I think Darcy's working every weekend.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so I think at this point, like Katie just said, Darcy's working every weekend. So when she does have a weekend off, I'm not sure if she wants to traipse out here and record. So hopefully she'll join us again soon. If not, think positive thoughts for her because it means she's working a lot. But so we will see y'all in a few weeks. And again, if you want something, I will let you know. But again, you can reach out to me in the meantime if I haven't done it. I'll probably do it tonight though, just so I can get it over with. I hope everyone has a great couple of weeks, and I'll see you on the interwebs.
Bye.
Bye.